There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Hey, welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den. My name is Sean Wolfswinkel.
And I'm Joni Wolfswinkel. Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah, so it's been a good week. Short week, so it's been, busy.
Yeah, this whole year has been kind of busy. Yeah. I think we were just talking about that the other day. It's like, man, we worked really hard this year, but it's also been a rewarding year as well. So
definitely need a vacation, but can't even take a vacation.
Well, we actually did. Yeah. We just celebrated our 17-year wedding anniversary last week, and so that was pretty amazing. We went to New Mexico, spent a few days there with the team, and then also had some R&R time ourselves and went off-roading on a Jeep tour. That was pretty cool.
Now I'm getting suckered into trying to buy a Jeep, so we'll see how that works out. But the it was good. It was for those of you who don't know, you can go back to, I think it's episode 1 and 2, listen to our story. But we're from New Mexico, and Joni and I met in high school 24 years ago. At the same time. So it was good to go back and our old stomping grounds. Yep. And I think we were even off-roading in the areas where Joni and I used to go and make out, way back in high school. And so, brought back good memories for sure.
Fun stuff. And we did some hiking as well. So got to enjoy the outdoors, which we don't get to enjoy so much here in Texas since it's always hot and humid. So we got some good weather out there and some hiking.
Yeah, it was fun. So, but anyway, this week we're going to share with you, I think, something that any business can take advantage of, and especially in this climate that we're in, as everybody had to go remote, we're going to get into talking about remote team members, or also a lot of they're referred to as virtual assistants. Especially in these times where everybody's remote, it's gotten way more customary to people are adapting, especially, mm-hmm. Maybe the baby boomer era, and a lot of maybe executives, they're not used to using remote team members, or they were like, no, everybody has to be in the office, right. And they weren't, or maybe opposed to it.
We even had that attitude as well. I mean, I think we hired our first remote team member, I think like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember we were, scared, like, how is that going to work? Are they working the same hours as us? And what happens when a client calls into the office? So we were a little scared ourselves, but of course you and I like to jump into things and, hey, let's take a risk and see if it pays off. And it totally did. And during these times, like you said, we've been utilizing it more so now than we ever have been.
Correct. And it's a big part of our business, and we get the opportunity to employ people in other countries, and they've helped us grow significantly. Yes. And helped service our clients. But so we're going to get into it. Like, what is a remote team member? How do you find them? How do we utilize them? Pros and cons. And so we're going to get all into the specifics of it. Mm-hmm. But, remote team members, they can be U.S.-based individuals. They don't have to be out of the country. You can find people that want to work from home, stay-at-home moms. There's many opportunities, right. And mm-hmm. There's plenty of places to find them. The ones that we use specifically are in other countries. Mainly ours are out of the Philippines and out of Mexico. They work our same hours. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of administration tasks behind the scenes.
Right.
They
answer phones. Yeah. Yeah.
So they speak to clients. They speak mm-hmm. to residents. Mm-hmm. So we utilize them in every department. We have remote team members, and they're usually supporting the lead team members.
Right.
As well.
Yes. Yeah.
But the nice part is they provide their own computer, internet. They work from home. you know, they brought by their own headsets and, you know, so anymore today you can really utilize these people because all the phone systems now are voice over IP. So all they need is a headset. All the, like our softwares are all web-based, so that's something they can just log into and work from home. And there's so many advantages for them because a lot of times they have families, they, like the ones in the Philippines are working nights while, you know, their kids are sleeping, their families are sleeping. But they enjoy it because it's a higher pay for them in their climate, in their market. And then, they're able to work from home and take advantage.
And for us, they're excited to come work for, you know, our company and be part of our company and our culture. So, it's exciting.
Yeah. So, how do we find them or how did we start with them? So, there are several companies out there that, outsource virtual assistants. So they have their business that has been created upon finding these team members and then, setting them up in their market and then, or their country, and then, marketing them to US based companies.
Right. And if you can find, you know, a company that specializes in your industry, that's even better because they know and understand what you're looking for. So it's better, for, you know, so you, they can find the right fit for your company.
Correct. And usually there's ones that are specialized to your industry.
Right.
Yeah. And they can support it. So we, the ones that we've hired over the years have always come through a company like that, that either specialize in the real estate industry in general, real estate investing or property management specific. But you can also find people on, I don't know how you pronounce this.
Or Upwork.
Yeah.
Upwork is a good one
as well. So Fiverr.com or Upwork. There's plenty of people advertising on those two sites and you can hire directly, especially if you're only looking for one or two people to help you out and not scale it or something.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great place. You know, people that are just looking to work from home. It could be somebody in your own market that just wants the ability to work from home and doesn't want to report. You can hire somebody like that.
Which is, you know, these are the times that you're going to see a lot more of that. So
There's people who are scared to come back into the office, but they need to provide income or for their family. Mm-hmm. And so this is a great opportunity.
Right.
You know, some of the pros of what's some of the pros of hiring?
I mean, low cost, of course, the thing with that, though, when you're starting out a business, you know, I know for us when we started off, like we didn't have a high budget for, you know, staff. And so starting off our first VA, it's like, okay, like we need somebody that can do the admin stuff, like, you know, all the marketing listing on our websites and just the tedious work, you know. I mean, it's important stuff, but stuff that it takes a lot of time for you and I to do. So if you're starting out in a business, I mean, it's a good way to just get some, you know, a good quality remote team member to do a lot of the admin. And you'll find that they're a lot quicker than you are, you know, and a lot of times they finish their tasks and are like, hey, Joni, can I have something else to do, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, you always hear about that, you know, stop doing the $5 an hour, you know, tasks.
Right.
And that's kind of, and we've taken it further. There's very talented remote team members out there. But, I mean, even just to start, it was just to, rather than you and I doing those $5 an hour job tasks, you know, it's let us focus on sales and growth and building the business and let them focus on the little tedious tasks that has to be done by somebody.
Exactly. And then even now as we are, you know, much larger, our property management company, we have almost 1,500 doors, and we were noticing, like, scaling our business. Like, we needed our remote team members to help us because our leads were drowning in these tedious tasks that, you know, they weren't able to do the bigger picture items because they were stuck in the weeds of doing these things.
Yeah, because as you grow your company and scaling, there's always that, like, balance between having enough staff and not enough staff. Right. And usually when you're scaling and growing, you're always maxing out everybody because you don't have enough money yet. You haven't seen the revenue yet from that growth, but yet you need the support to support that growth. So it's a hard balance, but with remote team members, you can usually get there quicker because obviously the cost of labor is a little bit cheaper so that you can afford to hire more than what you could in the US.
Right. Yeah.
So, and some of what we've seen is, number one, and then also the lower, another pro is that the lower labor cost, but also the lower cost of having an additional staff member. So, like, you know, you don't have to provide an extra office space. You don't have to provide an extra computer and all this equipment that you don't have. And so, or can't, you know, maybe can't afford it at that point.
I mean, all the costs that come with, you know, having an employee as well, you know, insurance and, you know, all the other stuff that come with it, it's expensive. So, you know, if you want to save on that, this is a great way.
Yeah. And then what we found, especially as the biggest thing with remote team members is you got to treat them, and we'll get into this in more specifically, but you need to treat them as a regular member or team member of your company.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. I mean, that's the only way it's going to work, because I know other companies out there that, you know, hire them and then they don't spend time with them training them. They don't, you know, they just kind of, they hire them and think, okay, like they're going to just, do what they need to do and they're going to help grow my business. And then 6 months down the road, you're like, man, like I thought this guy was doing, you know, what he was supposed to be doing. And I found out that he was just sitting there. Well, you know, you didn't treat him like you would any other employee and, you know, and part of your team.
Yeah. Train him, onboard him, treat him like any other employee that we would have in the office. But what we found is also in the hiring process of these remote team members is you treat them, you vet them just like you would anybody else. You interview them, you have second interviews, maybe test them.
Right.
You know, and come in and just test for a while. But like treat them, I mean, really look for the talented people there. And what we found is there's really educated people, like, you know, some of the ones that we've been bringing on out of Mexico recently have been extremely talented people, bright, smart, you know, they can speak better than me and they can write better than I can. And it's awesome because you get some and they're excited about the opportunity. Mm-hmm. They're excited about, you know, the being part of a company and a culture that just embrace.
They're over. I remember some of our new faces recently, you know, because we do our morning huddles every morning at 9:38. And so our remote team members, you know, huddle in and all of our locations huddle in. And I think the first day they were just overwhelmed, like, wow, like I've never seen this before, you know, like a company so tight knit and family oriented. And I think one of the new members was like, man, you guys are like the bulls of real estate, you know, so you just, they're awesome. They, you know, you have to hire them though, to fit your culture. And just like you would hire anybody else, you have to take it serious. And we also use the predictive index to help us kind of place, you know, the remote team member, because I think it's important too. You need to place them where they best fit. And so I don't know if you want to talk.
I've always just said like being the right person on the bus and then the right person on the right seat. And so, so you're testing for that they're going to fit your culture is huge. And then also, and this goes for the remote team members just as much. And then also testing them, like using the predictive index and one of those for a specific job.
Right.
And yes, that's crucial. And so if you're not using some kind of, I'm probably saying this wrong, you know, but like personality or
just profiling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just some kind of to find the right person for the right seat. Mm-hmm. And so we use the predictive index and had good success with that. What do you find some cons? Like one I know is, you know, yes, they're coming from other countries. So more than likely you'll find some that speak great English. They'll find some that have an accent.
Yeah. And it comes back, it's down to when you interview them, you know, and you just have to take it seriously as you would everybody else. Yeah. I mean, I think our first VA, we probably went through 5 or 6 different, you know, candidates before we found one that we really liked, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're going to find that, but that's okay. You really want to find the one that's going to best fit you, and not just be quick to hire them.
And I don't think it's as big a deal anymore today to have, you know, anymore today when you call a company on the phone, a lot of the large ones, you're calling a call center somewhere in another country. And so people are used to that anyway. There's going to be some cultural differences, I think, especially with other, you know, they're going to have different, maybe just holidays. So are you going to have them be off on your holidays? Or are you going to bend to some of their holidays in their country? That's a big one. You know, there's some different cultural differences in the way they're paid or the way that, you know, it's customary and that. Mm-hmm. So you got to be sensitive to those situations, right. But also aware of them. And then I think this is always the concern for majority of the people that I ever speak to when they hear we have, you know, a lot of team members on our team. They're always questioning like, well, how do you manage them? Or like, how do you know they're working for you if they're in a, and that's, I think that's, thinking small, because I think if you really, they're number one, you'll know if they're not completing their tasks.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I mean, and we have a set of KPIs, which is our key performance metrics that we go over every Wednesday. So, you know, and I encourage if you're in business for yourself and you don't have key performance metrics, it's important that you do, because when you do hire staff, you know, this is, the numbers don't lie. Yeah. Right.
And so, yeah, so they each have their own metrics that they need to hit. Mm-hmm. They report to their team leaders. They're in part of the meetings, you know, and their departmental meetings. And so they can easily get exposed if they're just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we have them responding to emails. We have them answering phones. So it's easy. You can tell. There are also softwares out there that can help you with this. So I know we're using, I think it's Hubstaff.
Right.
Which actually you can at any time go in there and check, and you can see their screen. So you can see if they're like, you know, on sites they're not supposed to be or doing something else. But I mean, that's micromanage a little bit.
And I guess you have to trust your team members, you know, and you have to, again, it comes down to hiring initially as well, you know, so those things should come out if they're not a right fit.
Correct. And you set the expectations up front and, you know, what is expected of them, mm-hmm. and what is, and as long as those are set up front, then I think it eliminates a lot of the...
And then just the continuous training, ongoing training.
Yeah.
That should never stop.
So, you know, we've had success with using them, and they've been an awesome part of our team. Explain to the listeners how we've benefited or how do we use them?
So I mean we use them in pretty much every department, but to start, so with Texas Turnkey Properties, you know, we buy properties and buy lots, and so one of our first remote team members, she's a lead manager. You know, what she does is she filters all the leads in and then she sends them out to our acquisitions manager, you know, to meet with the homeowner. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, in our property management, we have, you know, in our leasing team, we have one that, you know, does all the marketing, one that, you know, answers all the incoming leads from prospects looking for rental properties. And then we have, you know, in our renewals team, they're, you know, reaching out to residents that want to renew their leases, maintenance, you know, coordinating maintenance, you name it, every department, even in accounting, you know, they're, you know, doing the entering the bills,
collections.
Yeah. And then now just recently for Mr. Reuter, our plumbing company in Albuquerque, you know, they're actually doing the after hours calls for, you know, our plumbers.
Yeah, so we did that. A new addition that we just did this year was adding the after hours lines and staff. So now, you know, all the after hour calls are going, you know, rather than it used to go to a call center that we had limited control over, you know, which at the time, you know, some are good, some are bad, and it just depends on who's answering on the other side. And we just felt like it was better to bring them in house.
Yeah, we can train them on what we want them to say to our prospects. Where when you have a call center, not all the time you can control what they say.
Correct. So I'm going to throw some questions at you that I think, you know, I get a lot of times from, you know, people challenging using remote team members and thinking that I have to have somebody in the office or I have to have somebody locally. You know, the big one is, can they answer the phones or should they be talking to clients?
Absolutely. I have my remote team members talking to clients either from residents to owners. Again, you know, when you hire them, they're knowledgeable. You know, they fit your culture. They fit your team. You know, they can represent your company professionally. Mm-hmm. And other than that, it doesn't matter. I mean,
and we have some great ones, as we said, and they, I think they do just as fabulous a job as anybody on our team.
Yeah.
And so we're proud of them. The other thing is, I lost it, but whatever. I'll move on to the next one. Can you trust them? You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, it comes down to hiring, I think, and, you know, spending time with them. Something that I do is, you know, at least once a week, I'll reach out to every remote team member and really get to know them on a personal level. And I don't know any other owner that would do that, but I go the extra mile because I really want to get to know my employees like they are in the office.
Correct.
You know, I want them to come to me if they have issues and be comfortable to, you know, come to me for anything.
Correct. And I think that's you nailed it right there, because that's the key. That's the reason most people that do hire them and then they say, it doesn't work, or I didn't have a good experience, or I didn't get a lot of production out of them. Well, a lot of times, if you really look at it, it maybe wasn't the team member or, you know, that you hired. It was probably you. Mm-hmm. And what I'm getting at that is number one, and that's what I forgot about and I was going to mention earlier, it comes down to training.
Yeah.
You got to train them just like you would train anybody. If you don't have a good training program and onboarding, whether they're in your office or in another country, you're going to probably not do as well.
Exactly.
And with today, like, you know, we use Teams, but you can use Zoom or any software, but you can, you know, we call them, we share our screens, we go over training so we can walk them through things. And we have a whole training module like built out that they have to listen to videos, answer questions. Mm-hmm. Much like, I don't know if you've ever gone through driving school or something like that, you have to follow those videos and it doesn't let you go forward until you answer the questions.
Right. Yeah.
It's annoying, but yeah.
And I mean, I treat it so like here in our office, I have an open door policy. If any of my employees need, you know, to talk to me for anything, they're welcome at any time. And that's how I treat it with my remote team members. I have an open door policy. And if they need to, you know, call me over Teams or Zoom, that's what they do.
And I was going back to what you said earlier. I think the neat part is that you do make them feel like an employee or mm-hmm. like a regular team member, even though they're not in the office day to day. You want to make them feel like they're part of it. They're part of this company. They're part of this organization.
Absolutely.
And I think you do a great job of that. Like I know you, again, you like to use like Teams so you can see them. Mm-hmm. So you call them and you get to see them live, have an interaction. And with technology today, you can have a pretty good face-to-face interaction over the,
It can be weird at first, when I call them and I don't see their camera on, I call them out like, hey, like, you know, turn on your camera. I want to see your face, your pretty little face. Yeah. So, but I mean, yeah, I think it's important. Yeah.
And then we try to include them in as many events as we can. Of course, you know, if we go out and do something local, you know, we can include them and it's a bummer that we can't, because we would love to include them in, you know,
absolutely
a lot of our team building events, you know, whether it's go-kart racing.
Yeah. But we do include them like in our, we have a lunch and learn every once a month. And so they're included in that. Mm-hmm. Today, actually, we're doing a happy hour, over Zoom, just get a chance to get to know them more on a personal level.
Correct. And it's with COVID, I think that's everybody's doing those kind mm-hmm. of events. So it's we're now able to do that more often and do that kind of stuff with them. Another question is, how do you think your owners will respond knowing that you have team members? So.
Yeah.
So taking a step further, what do you think our clients will think of us having remote team members?
You know, again, if they represent your company professionally, it's not an issue. In fact, one of my rock star customer service representatives, we just hired him maybe a couple months ago. And our owners love him. He's like, man, this guy is really professional. Like, he's on top of it, you know. And so, it's our remote team member.
Yeah. We don't like publicly, you know, disclose where people are located or where it doesn't matter because whether they're here in the U.S. or not, or here in Houston or Albuquerque, I don't think it matters. Mm-hmm. I don't think people know unless they get to talking to them and find out. But I think, I think they can, we train them and we have them, we wouldn't hire them if they couldn't, carry themselves well with
right.
our clients.
And we constantly are training them. We have our customer service roundups on Thursdays. And so everybody in the organization participates in that. And we go through, you know, objections and, you know, maybe some issues that they were having and how to overcome that.
Brett does he was on, he's obviously I'm making this podcast happen, but you know, Brett did a really good podcast, and we'll put it in the show notes, which podcast and episode that was, but on the customer experience. Mm-hmm. That's what it's called. But we include our remote team members in there, and they really get involved, and they share their wins, and they share, you know, challenges they had with clients, but they get to interact, and it's a great weekly thing that we do every, yes. And this past week was awesome.
Oh yes.
Yeah. We had, our business development, manager, you know, kind of lead that, mm-hmm. just break it up, and she did an awesome job. And so I think everybody got involved. I think everybody got a lot out of it this mm-hmm. past week.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that we kind of nailed it with how we take advantage of how we had success. So again, it comes down to training, you know, onboarding them correctly, treating them as,
regular as any other employee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And hiring.
And then selecting the right ones, mm-hmm. and hiring and put them in the right seats.
Correct.
And
yeah.
And if you do that, I think you can, you know, save and help your company grow quicker. Mm-hmm. And I think you can take advantage of hiring a lot sooner than maybe you thought you could.
Right.
So check them out. If you have any questions, be happy to help. Send us an email. Send it to info@insidethewolfsden.com. Reach out to us. We'd be happy to help you. And we look forward to talking to you next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.